Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road back in the house today from Knoxville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing just great. Had a nice time in Knoxville. Joe Milton is Tennessee's starting quarterback or outside linebacker, terrorizing quarterbacks. Could go either way.
He's a pretty big guy.
He's a mountain of a man. That's my takeaway.
That's your takeaway. Hey, look, not a bad thing to have a big quarterback.
No.
All four of them talking yesterday. Tennessee just throwing it out there. Talk to anybody you want.
So,
Josh Heupel.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, the program's still standing today. It didn't destroy the program to let players talk to the media. Amazing. Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots to get into from Tennessee's media day yesterday. Fall camp getting underway today for the Tennessee Vols. So football season is in the air, Joe. NFL training camp's been going on for a week now. And now some college football training camp about to get going as well. It's a good time of year.
It is. They'll be on the practice field today, the Vols. You know, I think Vanderbilt's getting going here. And obviously the Titans now are hitting people. So
yeah,
we're talking about a week plus from a preseason game, which actually sounds fun to watch. And what, we got a Hall of Fame game this weekend?
Yeah,
right?
we do.
Peyton Manning going to the Hall of Fame.
And I saw this all over the place on Sunday on social media. This past Sunday, it's the last weekend without football until February.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
So we've made it.
That makes me so happy.
It's a good time.
That is great. When is do you know when Peyton talks, when he gives a speech?
I don't know. I need to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see it.
I'd like to watch that live. It'll be hilarious.
Yes. Love to see me that speech. Give me some Peyton Manning all day long.
Yep. So things are good.
Things are very good. So you brought up Joe Milton. Obviously a big guy, and that was all over the place yesterday on Vol Twitter and on social media as well. What were some of your takeaways yesterday from Tennessee's media day in Knoxville?
Well, first of all, there's a very extensive piece I wrote on theathletic.com, including a photo taken by me. So,
oh wow!
I want you to, you know, you click on that. I want you to behold. I got all four of the quarterbacks in the photo down the line. It's pretty.
That's pretty epic.
It's pretty artistic. So there's a lot of takeaways. You know, my takeaway that I wrote about is, you know, I wrote about Heupel, and I mean, we'll get into this, but I'm totally like falling into the, like, you know what, this guy might have a chance type of mindset. But I mean, look, it's just Heupel and both of those coordinators, Tim Banks and Alex Golish, were great. You know, they were very informative. They were nice. they actually like answered questions about things. There's a lot going on with this team, and you know, obviously a lot probably better stuff on the offensive side than the defensive side. You know, we know this, but I thought it was interesting that Golish laid out that you know, that he basically in a week and a half wants to cut this down. But you know, he said, like, look, they're all going to get a chance, and I think you would be doing yourself a disservice. I know that everybody, you know, out there thinks they know who it is and it's over and it's all, no, it's Bailey is the guy. It's always been Bailey, or, you know, of course it's going to be Milton. Look, if you're one of these coaches in this position, you're dumb if you don't let them come back from summer after all that they've done on their own. You know, they've been with the strength coach. But, I mean, in terms of getting ready to play in this offense, it's a lot of their own study, and Joe Milton has a lot of ground to make up. So you'd be silly to not give all of them a real legitimate look with reps in this first week. But then you have to start thinking about football and getting a quarterback ready, and this offense isn't exactly the easiest offense to operate, so that's where it gets interesting. I think they'll probably have two guys getting reps way late because, yeah. I mean, honestly, if you take it down to one, you may be looking for a backup by the season opener. Yeah. You know, you have to think about roster management in these things too.
Yeah, and we'll get a little bit more into the quarterbacks coming up here in just a few minutes. But it is going to be interesting to watch the way this offense comes together. And one thing that I saw a lot yesterday that, again, I think is kind of a misnomer about this offense, as Adam Sparks put it yesterday. There were a lot of people on Twitter yesterday talking about, man, I can't wait to watch this offense. They're going to throw it 45, 50 times a game. It's going to be great. It's modern-day college football. Hey, look, they're going to throw it. They're not going to be throwing it 45, 50 times a game. And if they are, that probably means they're in trouble at that point, would be my guess.
Yeah, unless they're right. Yeah. Second half, they're just down multiple scores, which will happen in some games.
They run the ball. I mean, Josh Heupel likes to run the ball, too. And it's more of a power game, and we'll see what happens on that front with Tennessee. Some intriguing running backs. And Josh Heupel talked about that a little bit yesterday in terms of liking the group that he's got at running back, and I knew somebody would do it, and it happened yesterday. The comparison of Jabari Small to Alvin Kamara, and now we're officially off and running here in talking season for the Tennessee Volunteers.
And that may have been it probably happened independent of me too, but that was Cade Mays.
Yep,
told me that, but he probably told other people that all day. Meanwhile, when I was talking to Maurer, he's talking about D. Beckwith, and he said Derrick Henry Jr. in the backfield with him. So, got Kamara and Derrick Henry.
Well, then they should be fine offensively.
Exactly. They should have no problems at all. Yeah, but Jabari Small, definitely one of the stories, I would say, you know, of this team in terms of just a, you know, young guy, big opportunity, but they really like him a lot. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, it was good talking to him yesterday. He's very impressive, young. But he's one of those guys. Everybody's asked about name, image, likeness, too, of course. And he's like, yeah, I'm not doing any of that stuff. Focus on the football, which is good. I would also say, you know, if you can sneak in a few bucks here and there, do it. But, those opportunities, if he, you know, takes that job and he is the starting running back for the University of Tennessee and he has a good season, and you're right. They absolutely want balance this offense. And when you get it going, you can see where the running game can very well work in this thing. But he'll have his opportunities. Harrison Bailey was like, I'm keeping that to myself, but I do have a management company handling all of my business affairs. Like, yeah, that's smart.
Hey, man.
Do it, man.
Whatever you got to do.
And, you know, whoever wins that job.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately, you have more opportunities. So, well, good for them.
Just off social media alone, we learned that last year. David Uppman crunching the numbers. Apparently, Garantano could have made over $100,000 last year off social media.
With two scheduled tweets a week,
yeah.
$130,000. So,
it's not that hard.
Yeah, so that's the thing I would tell Jabari. So, I mean, I think I'm sure Tennessee fans love hearing that, like players who are like, you know, I'm focused on the Vols and the football. But, yeah, send a tweet out. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I like Heupel's perspective on this. He's like, because someone asked, it was Jimmy Himes. We had all the legends.
Oh yeah,
in the spot yesterday. We had my man John Adams. We gotta get John Adams on soon.
Yeah, we do.
But Jimmy asked about name, image, likeness, and Heupel's like, yeah, I mean that can be a distraction, and your personal relationships can be a distraction, and I mean anything outside the building can be a distraction. Like if I'm a coach, I would rather guys be focused on like business things that can help them in life than a lot of other crap you can get into, right? Like, would you rather have someone doing a photo shoot or go to the bar?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just some of the stuff, some of the places people take this is like, oh, it's going to be like, what do you think college kids do when they're not doing like the schoolwork or like if they're sport? I mean, there are a lot of worse alternatives. So And that's what I was saying. Like, to me, this is like helps get them ready for adulthood.
Yeah.
So the smart people have takes like that.
The smart people do have takes.
Like Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel, very smart. And I was interested to see, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show, what his response would be. I was watching the live stream when Josh Heupel was addressing the media, and all of a sudden I heard Joe Rexrode from The Athletic up there asking a question. I was interested to see what his response would be to your question yesterday about his program, about the openness of his program as well. And I thought it was a very good response. Here's what Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel had to say yesterday in response to our very own Joe Rexrode.
You got your all four quarterbacks talking today, coordinators. You've allowed assistants to talk. It's a little bit different from how it has been here. Just wondering how important it is to you to be open like that. What is the value in that for a program in this position right now?
The value for us is that if you can have multiple voices speaking to the culture, the energy, what's going on inside of your program, I think it has a chance for our fan base to grab a hold of it, to see what's truly going on inside of our program, the gains and the progress that we're making daily, weekly, monthly. I think it has a chance to help us in recruiting as well. I think it's important. This is a passionate fan base that cares deeply about what's going on every day of the year, not just on game day Saturdays, you know, the eight times we play inside of Neyland Stadium. Giving them access and insight to who we are, what we're about, and how we're doing things, I think is really important.
That was Josh Heupel yesterday talking about the importance of the openness of his program. Joe, I thought that was quite a good answer. I thought it was something that Josh Heupel was genuine about, and I think that that's something that moving forward probably going to serve him pretty well.
I mean, it's a no-brainer to me, but it's not a no-brainer for a lot of coaches.
Apparently not.
It's also, I mean, we've been talking about... Well,
one mute.
All right, I was trying to mute myself because I was trying to clear my throat. Is that really
count? It worked.
All right, that's fine. I think I should get a Knoxville mulligan. You know, all right. We talk about name, image, likeness, and I don't know how many coaches moving forward could do it like Pruitt anyway. You know?
Yeah, probably not.
I just don't think that's going to fly, which is great. Now, I don't know that it's necessarily great. Like, if all of the interviews are paid for, and they're not, I mean, you know, they're not going to be paid for. But obviously, just like with pro athletes who sometimes have, you know, paid radio gigs, I mean, you're going to see more of that. But I just can't imagine that you can move forward with this and a coach can say, sorry, no access to my players. I mean, we already have social media, so they, you know, anybody can say whatever they want. But coaches do that too.
Oh, yeah.
I just think all that stuff coming to an end. But yeah, Heupel gets it in that. I mean, you are Tennessee football right now. You need outreach. You know, you've got to bring people in. And why wouldn't you? If you're running a good program and you're confident in what you're doing, why don't you want people seeing the inside?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean you're giving them your game plans, but, you know, Pruitt, and maybe we have a better understanding of why Pruitt was like this, but he was just incredibly secretive about everything.
He was. Right up until the very end. Then it didn't go well.
Was Pruitt involved, I wonder, in like the entire team brawl of the Giants yesterday,
maybe
by the way?
Oh, God.
Was he somewhere in that pile?
Can you imagine him and Dooley like pulling people off of each other in the pile?
Oh, my gosh. Apparently Joe Judge had him lined up and
running like it was the 1980 Miracle on Ice team.
Yeah.
Just again, Herb Brooks out there. Interesting stuff in New York Giants training camp yesterday. Where the quarterback ends up on the bottom of the pile. I'm sure that went over well.
Yeah, that's always good.
It's always what you want in training camp. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Volunteers coming up next, including why Joe Rex Road might be becoming a big fan of Josh Heupel. We'll get into the quarterbacks as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Tennessee Volunteers. Day one of camp starting today for Tennessee. Josh Heupel has just tweeted, day one. So excited to get started on the journey with this team. Hashtag GBO. Hashtag Vols Camp. You know what drives me nuts?
GBO?
I can't stand it.
Do you like GBO less than VFL?
Oh, I don't know. They're probably about even. The VFL thing. I get it. People like it. Not a big fan.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either. That's kind of newer, though.
That's
right.
The VFL. I think that's
Is that a Butch?
That might be a Butchism.
Is that a Butchism?
That's when I think everybody really started using it.
It's interesting, you know, because the disdain for Butch now, and yet they still go with that. GBO, that's a long time, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I think VFL bothers me more than GBO.
They both bother me. But, yeah, I would say you're probably right on that. And we're discussing the Tennessee Volunteers and put up a piece on The Athletic, a column from The Athletic from Joe Rexroad after attending Media Day yesterday for the Vols. And I highly encourage you to check it out. You can find it at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. But references to Joey Freshwater, five-star heart, Coordinator Cornbread, we're in good shape. It's a pretty good piece.
Yeah, I need to know who to credit for Coordinator Cornbread. I mean, it's been thrown around on Twitter extensively, but I'd like to know who made it up so that they could get credit. But I did think about this. Yeah, it's a lot about the media factor and why that matters, why something like yesterday matters. You know, to summarize, I mean, there's a lot of great stories on any football team. Let those stories be told. And a day like yesterday, you're going to have all kinds of different things that come out of it because people are allowed to go have conversations with people. And, again, all four quarterbacks in this highly competitive situation about to go at each other. All of them badly want this job. I would guess a couple will transfer, you know, when they find out they're not. I mean, and Heupel's like, yeah, let them go talk about it. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, but, again, it's just not the way things have gone in college athletics. I think it's going to go more this way now. But I think Heupel, he just seems to me like a guy who would be fine with that anyway, which you should be. You know, college football coaches can be a little bit paranoid.
They can. And one thing that I will say about Heupel that I thought about yesterday as I was watching him speak at the podium. Look, I don't know how good of a coach he's going to be. I don't know that this was the right hire for Tennessee. We'll find out the answer to all that in the coming weeks and months and years as he tries to build this program back up. I will say one thing that he's got going for him that I think, especially when you compare him to the last two head coaches, is a big-time strength of his. He's very level-headed, and that is a very good thing to be in college football. He seems to have his head on his shoulders. He's not worried about things that you shouldn't be worried about. He's worried about the football part of it. He's not worried about people coming in, to your point, and discovering state secrets behind the program doors at Tennessee. He seems to be very comfortable in his own skin. I think that's a very good place to be. Jeremy Pruitt was not that way. Butch Jones, to the other extreme of Jeremy Pruitt, certainly was not that way. And to Heupel's credit, he is. Now, again, I don't know what that means on the field. I don't know how important ultimately that is at the end of the day. But I do think day-to-day, like operations for Tennessee, that's a very good strength to have because, quite frankly, with this team, this program, this fan base, and this league, you kind of have to be that way. Otherwise, you're going to be it's going to be tough to navigate those waters.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. And we was talking about this with some of the other, you know, reporters at Media Day. Like, I wrote this in a column, too. Like, when's the last time Tennessee had a football coach who wasn't, like, immediately the subject of a parody account? You know, and again, Lane Kiffin's a very good coach, but still, Lane Kiffin's year was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all over the place. And Dooley and, I mean, you go through the last four coaches, and it's just, like, in different ways, just complete wackiness at times. Now, this could end up happening to Heupel too. You know, this place can break people, okay? This job's it's going to be very difficult. But I agree with you. I think level-headed is a great way to put it, and I think you have to be that to handle the ups and downs in Knoxville. And I think that so far what we're seeing from him is a certain, you know, it's also, I think, self-confidence. Just, you know, he does what he does. And we'll see if it works. And, you know, recruiting has not gone as hoped. And I think this team defensively could be pretty bad, and it could. It's not going to be a great season, but the atmosphere around the program, and I asked a lot of guys about this yesterday too. It's just a little bit more adult, I would say.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me that, you know, we've seen the videos of them doing the dodgeball stuff and just getting together and, you know, going to golf or whatever they're doing and just all this stuff that they're doing together. And, I mean, Josh Heupel was asked yesterday, like, did you think that that was something this team needed when you got here to, like, actually go out and do fun things and enjoy being around each other? And he basically said, yep, you know, when I first got here, had a meeting with the team, that was lacking a little bit in the past and something he wanted to fix. So just kind of getting back to the roots a little bit and saying, you know what? Yes, you're supposed to work hard. Yes, this is big-time college football. It's the SEC, and it's not as simple as just being a student athlete. But it is kind of supposed to be fun, and that's part of what you're doing here, being a college athlete, is having fun. And I'm glad to see that that part of it has been embraced as well. Because
yeah.
That's pretty important at the end of the day with 18 to 22-year-olds.
And again, like with if you go back to Pruitt, okay, I think like Pruitt's approach, if you can actually not care, which is what his whole thing was, whatever.
Right.
I'm recruiting, I'm coaching, you all do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's fine if you win and if you can get it to where you want to get it. But as we saw last year, he was starting to care and lash out, and it's, you know, it just doesn't help you. Again, I don't know how this is going to go for Heupel, but right now it's the honeymoon period, and it's always, I mean, I can think back to when early days of Pruitt saying, well, now they got a coach who can evaluate players and develop players, and he doesn't care about all this Butch stuff. He's a ball coach. I mean, you know, that's what this is. You have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt. But it's been a few months now of kind of observing him, and then yesterday up close. I mean, it's he's a level-headed adult, and you can be an effective football coach and be a nice guy. That is possible. I know "nice guys finish last" is a very popular phrase, but that can work. I mean, I would say like Dabo, although he's a very unlikable, likable guy, is an example of you don't have to be Nick Saban. You don't have to be Brian Kelly.
Right. And now the question for Tennessee becomes, what happens with the quarterback position as they head now into fall camp? And all four quarterbacks speaking yesterday to the media, how is Josh Heupel and company going to handle that as the quarterback competition gets underway starting today on the field? Here's what Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel had to say yesterday on how he will handle the quarterback position.
Josh, at what point do you feel like you need to whittle down the reps for your quarterbacks, and do you feel like you need to name a starter game week?
I anticipate us having a starter during the course of week one for sure. That doesn't mean the other guys won't have opportunities to share roles. I think it's the challenge for every player to earn the trust of the coaching staff and show that they're going to compete at a consistent and championship level. Once kids do that, I think it's important that you as a coaching staff put them in a position to have an opportunity to have a role and play a part of what you're doing. Quarterbacks, just like every other position, those competitive battles that they're in, you dwindle the reps down and make decisions when guys have shown that they've earned the opportunity to become a one or become a two or become a three, you know, based on how they perform. And so as we go through training camp, the players will dictate how that unfolds.
So that was Josh Heupel yesterday discussing the quarterback position, and I found it interesting. I mean, the question there is about when will you name a starter, and Heupel said, well, I anticipate having a starter heading into the week one, which tells me I don't know that Tennessee is necessarily going to be naming a starter before week one's game rolls around against Bowling Green. But he also kind of left the door open a couple of times yesterday about, you know, a couple guys might have to play. Like, there may be roles situationally where you use more than one quarterback. I know that Tennessee fans hear that and probably not overly thrilled about that. You just want to pick a guy and roll with it. But I don't think it's the end of the world if week one rolls around and multiple quarterbacks see the field. I don't think that this necessarily has to be decided by then, by the Bowling Green game.
Right. And you want a backup.
Yeah.
So if that means there's some playing time for the other guy, I mean, look, you hope the Bowling Green game gives you like a quarter of
all four of them, maybe. Yeah. At least three of them.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't expect all four of them to be on the roster at that point.
Right.
But we'll see. But Yeah, who knows? I think that, look, they're keeping an open mind, which I think you have to do. And it may be that it's so close between two guys that, you know, it's a disservice to just go with one and give all the reps. Although, I'm sure Alex Golis, Josh Heupel, in a way, they'd probably love to just be coming into a place where there's a clear quarterback and they just work on this guy and get this guy up to speed with every single rep to their offense. It's going to be an interesting balance, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if there are two planned to play. I will be surprised if they're able to keep it secret all the way until the opening kickoff of who will be quarterbacking.
Yes.
I have my doubts about that. Alex Golish has his doubts too.
Yes. I think that will certainly be a challenge for Josh Heupel and his staff to keep that a secret as they move forward here. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a couple of thoughts from CD and David to get to coming up on the other side of the break. Also, Roger Saffold, Titans offensive guard, joining us to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. So all that coming up here in the next few minutes on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Saturday, catch a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with our very own Chase McCabe at 9 a.m. Brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision and Repair. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Vols, they begin fall camp today. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. CD texting in, I remember when I'd get excited for Vols football. Those days are long behind me. I'll still watch, but I don't expect more than 4 wins. We are bad, very, very bad.
Oh, CD. Come on, this is the time to have unrealistic expectations.
This fan base has been beaten down, man.
Yes, yes it has. Yes, it has been. I know, though, there's some GBO supporters out there who are starting to feel it. Starting to feel this Jabari Small, Joe Milton with the deep ball to Bayless Jones.
This is right around the time of year where you can start to talk yourself into, you know, 8-4. May not be off the table.
That'd be pretty
May
good.
May not be off the table. Everything goes well, 8-4.
The and Gators, then, watch out, Gators. It's still a rivalry game.
And then you tune into the third quarter of Bowling Green in Tennessee, and it's 17-17. And you're like, oh, what's going on here? How about that? Seen that movie before.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. The Butch should have gone to Atlanta year. Was that not Bowling Green in the opener?
That was.
They had a shockingly close opener.
That was App State.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was App State. Yes,
where,
yes.
Quite frankly, they should have lost that game.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was. Wasn't that like Dobbs picking up a fumble? Or it was a.
Jalen Hurts.
Or Hurts picked up a fumble.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts.
Hurts, not Hurd. Not Hurd. Not Hurts, Hurd.
Kendrick Perkins, are you okay?
Here we go. Here we go. Hopefully Michelle wasn't paying attention to my latest tongue twister.
But that was an overtime win for the Vols.
Yeah, overtime win over App State. Yeah,
may or may not have been some damage done to my apartment that night. It was a good time.
That was may or may not have been a little bit of a preview of things to come.
Yes, it was. Let's go back to the text line. David texting in. Jared was throwing out 3 wins for Tennessee yesterday, and he wonders why people don't take him seriously. The hot takes are exhausting. Now, we'll say, CD just texted in and said he can't see more than 4 wins.
Yeah.
David is upset about Jared saying 3 wins.
I don't think Jared is completely on an island there. Now, I think they'll win more than 3, but what's crazier, saying 3 or saying 8?
Probably 8, to be honest with you.
I mean, I like 5 and 6 are flashing loudly to me.
I mean, they did just win 3 games. Now, it's a different year. You've got some non-conference opponents, and at least 3 of the non-conference opponents, they should not only win, but win very easily. Now, I also saw the Georgia State game a couple years ago, so I know how that works.
Yes.
But that should be 3 wins right there.
That was bad coaching.
That was very, very bad coaching. So there should be 3 wins built in on the schedule.
Yeah, if you don't win any more beyond those, if that's what that's a huge,
very bad sign.
I mean, I disagree with Jared. I think that they will. I think they'll find a way to win a couple more, and maybe
I do too.
maybe 3 more, maybe 4 more, maybe. I can't go to 5.
Well, I'm thinking about the rest of the SEC, right? So they're playing Ole Miss this year, which Ole Miss's offense might put up 90 on Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's offense might put up 85 on Ole Miss. Like, there's going to be a whole lot of defense played in that game. South Carolina's probably not going to be very good. Vanderbilt and Clark Lee's first year should be a winnable game for Tennessee. Yeah, look, I don't know about Kentucky. It's Tennessee, Kentucky. Usually Tennessee, that means pretty good things for them. But last year, it did not. So, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
It's so hard to know.
Yeah.
It's so weird with Kentucky, even as well as Stoops has done there. Even like a couple years ago, that Pruitt team thumped them. You know, the passing the ball problem for Kentucky. I mean, I can see Tennessee with this offense scoring more points than them in a particular game.
Yep.
Missouri, I don't really like their team. I mean, I think Missouri's better than them this year. You know, we'll see. But it's not like it's some out of the realm of possibility game.
Right. So there we are.
Okay.
Talking our way into eight wins.
There it is.
There it is, right there.
You're wrong, you hot taker, you, Jared.
What were your impressions of the coordinators for Tennessee yesterday? Obviously, they were available to the media and spoke. What were your impressions of them? What do you make of the coaching staff that Josh Heupel has put together under year one in Knoxville?
Okay, so media, you know, media mindset impression, which I know is less important to fans. From our perspective, awesome. I mean, Tim Banks and Alex Gullish were great. You know, they gave insights. They were personable. And, again, they were just made available. So, huge change from the last regime. Tim Banks, by the way, former Central Michigan legend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my first Michigan State football game as a student was a loss to Central Michigan, a shocking loss.
Go Chippewas.
There you go, baby. Go Chips. And Tim Banks was a big part of those teams. So I have memories of Tim Banks. He was very good. Of course, he's been at Penn State, and he's got a challenge this year. But he had some interesting stuff. I mean, I don't think there's any question Juwan Mitchell is important. They really need to find some people up front who can make plays. They need people like Tyler Barron, Morvin Jones. They need people to have had great summers. Alex Gullish. As I'm watching him talk, I mean, he gave such detailed, really interesting and insightful answers. But as I'm watching him talk, I'm like, if Seth Rogen never smoked weed and went into football coaching instead of writing movies, that's what Alex Gullish reminded me of. A non-stoner Seth Rogen.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Well, Seth Rogen, well, yeah, that's right. You're not a Seth Rogen fan. Seth Rogen is a very smart, funny guy.
Yeah. He's smart. I don't know how funny he is, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Seth Rogen, not funny. Beatles,
yeah.
God-awful music.
We're learning by the day that Joe Rexroad hates the taste I have in everything.
We're going to build your, you know, it's like a big beer.
I just don't think Seth Rogen's all that funny. It's okay.
Okay, I'm trying. Okay, so what Seth Rogen movies have you watched?
Pineapple Express.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
40-Year-Old Virgin, he's in that one, too.
You didn't think it was funny?
He's the same guy in every one of them.
Yeah. Well, hey, but if something works, go with it.
I guess.
But anyway, I don't know if anyone else will think that about Alex Gullish, but that's what I thought about. I'm like, basically, it's like a clean-cut football coaching Seth Rogen. I thought he did a good job of kind of detailing what they want to do on offense. He's like, I'm not an acronym guy. I don't have acronyms and stuff.
Thank God.
Yeah, one word, attack. You know, basically play better, longer than your opponent. It's like, I like that. You know, a lot of this is, it's fast, yes, and teams are better at dealing with it. But if you get it the way you want it, it's also an endurance thing.
What did James Franklin used to do? Hold up like the 6-second thing with his hands? That's what he used to do at Vanderbilt. The average play is 6 seconds. So that's what James Franklin used to do.
Huh.
We can see Tennessee coaches doing that.
Anchor down. Also, speaking of little sayings that survive after a coach leaves,
yeah.
That was a James Franklin, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Everybody's all in on anchor down. But James Franklin, Vanderbilt people still like him for the most part, right?
Yes.
Unlike Butch in Tennessee. So it's more understandable.
That's right. JD texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Seth Rogen isn't that funny. I agree.
Golly, man. Michelle, can I get some help on this? Rogen?
I personally think he is funny.
Thank you.
Robbie, we need to expand your palate.
I personally think you're right.
What'd you say, Joe?
I personally think you're right.
I think we need to expand Robbie's palate.
I mean, it's fine. The movie Knocked Up. Have you seen the movie Knocked Up?
I mean, he's again same guy.
But he's a funny guy. He's same it's the guy same every, funny guy.
Same guy in every movie.
I see what you're saying, though. Like, yes, yeah, same guy. Same, but I enjoy zero that comedy. Variation.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want him to be some different
that's fine.
Guy.
That's fine. I don't find him to be all that funny. Now
it's
I will say
than
this.
It's better than your Beatles.
Day. I will say this. Paul Rudd, pretty much the same guy in every movie too. I like Paul Rudd.
Me too.
I think he's good.
I like them together in movies, yes. Which they are.
Yes, they are.
They're funny.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Clarksville texting in. Last night while cooking dinner, I had a throwback to the Rex Road debate of the proper way to make mac and cheese. I, too, grew up in Manassas, Virginia many moons ago and made mac and cheese the way that Joe does. I made it his wife's way last night, and it was painful, unorthodox, and added unnecessary steps to the process. Never again. Hashtag mix it all together.
Hell yes. Wait, who is this?
John from Clarksville.
Love you, John. Let me know if you were also a Greater Manassas Football League All-Star like me in the 80s.
Maybe
we
played together.
We know how to. We may be. I was on the Cowboys. We lost to the Cardinals in the championship game. It was heartbreaking. I did have a diving touchdown.
Still haven't gotten over it all these years later.
Awesome, John. That's the right way to make mac and cheese. You put the milk in, you put the sauce in, you stir it. Yes, Katie takes a bowl and separately mixes it and pours it on.
It's a lot of effort.
That's
I do it the same way as Katie.
Wrong.
That's good memory.
We're all over the place. Yeah, good job, John.
Good job, John. Way to hang with us on the mac and cheese debate here on the show. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans. Roger Saffold joining us to begin the 7 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that coming up in about 17 minutes or so. When we come back, Shane Bowen speaking to the media yesterday and had some very interesting comments about his title. We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 this Monday, August the 9th from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. JP from Spring Hill texting in, watch The Green Hornet, Robbie. Seth Rogen is a superhero, and it's fantastic. I will admit, I have not seen The Green Hornet with Seth Rogen.
I also have not seen that. Is that actually good?
According to JP, yeah.
I mean, if Seth Rogen's in it, it's got a chance. I say.
It's got a chance.
This stuff with John is insane.
Yeah.
Is this real?
You may have discovered, you know, John pointing out in the last segment from Manassas, Virginia, you may have discovered a teammate that you were playing with.
I mean,
that is now reconnected all these years later.
He said he was a little runt, number 65. So I just texted him back. I was number 12. So Troy Terrell and I were the two quarterbacks. I played middle linebacker, but we had a running back, Kenny Cahoon, who was one of my best friends in fifth grade, and he was also incredible. And his brother was the high school star, I think Manassas Park High School at that time. Older brother Vic Cahoon, who went on to play running back at Arizona State.
Yeah.
I mean, he was legit, like, good player. So if this is your recall, John, this is a reunion of teammates.
Yes, it is.
And we can both share in the misery, the heartache, how long? 38 years later?
Losing
to the Cardinals in the championship game. They beat us twice. They beat us in the regular. We did beat the Packers, though, in the playoffs. And I got the sack on their big trash-talking quarterback, and it was fantastic.
You throw a little trash talk of your own after that? Were you a big trash talker in the fifth grade?
No, not really. I was very humble. Very humble, just like now.
He just wishes he had his rat tail.
That was around the time of asking for rat tails.
John went to Baldwin Elementary. You know where Baldwin Elementary is?
I went to, this is the thing. Like, some, you know, when you move around a lot, you're
like, I have no clue I don't what remember, elementary school.
I don't remember Baldwin. I do remember I was going to go to, then we moved to Saudi Arabia next year. I was going to go to Stone River?
No.
Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson. Okay.
Middle school. I think my elementary was Bennett. I think that's right. I think I went to Bennett.
It's a good recall.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you're old, so that was a long time ago.
I'm very old. So keep it coming, John. If you played with Kenny, our running back, then we were teammates. That's amazing.
What
we'll
a day.
Do the whole show on this.
What a day here on the text line.
Memories
by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Memories of the GMFL.
That's right. Got Roger Saffold, Titans offensive guard, coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Shane Bowen addressing the media yesterday. Titans defensive coordinator, officially recognized this year as the title of defensive coordinator for Shane Bowen and the Tennessee Titans. And Bowen was asked yesterday about actually having the role being defined for him this year, and whether or not that makes a difference on the field. Here's what Shane Bowen had to say yesterday at his press conference.
Roger just said that you guys feel more comfortable with you in year two. The fact that your role was actually clearly defined this offseason, do you think that has helped clearly define a lot of their roles?
Yes, absolutely. I do. I think it's helped. I think just with everybody, with the coaching staff, with the players, I think it's been good up to this point. They kind of understand where the buck stops, and it is what it is. So I'm excited for the opportunity. I really am. I'm excited the way these guys are going about working right now and kind of what we're trying to get accomplished on defense.
So that was Shane Bowen yesterday absolutely saying that the role helps him on the field, in the locker room. You and I and a lot of other people, Joe, made a big deal about Shane Bowen not officially having the defensive coordinator title last year. A lot of fans said, who cares? Why does it matter? Shane Bowen, little confirmation there that looks like it matters to him. Looks like it's making a difference on the field as well.
In your face, Vrabel.
Yes.
Yes, this became probably obvious.
Not.
We're still waiting for your weekly segment on the show, too.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's, you know, as things got, especially as things got bad last year, you know, obviously this became a back and forth on the title. I still think one of the biggest things about it is, again, he does not have a position group to worry about. If you are coaching a position group, there are certainly, I think in the college ranks you see it quite a bit. You got a DC slash safety coach, DC slash whatever coach. But if you can just completely set that aside, not have to focus on any particular position, and you are purely global in your thoughts on the defense, I got to think that helped you. And I think, like he said, you know, I think they, you know, they kind of understand where the bus stops. And, you know, I mean, that's also for everybody else. Okay, it's Shane. It's not like Mike and Shane's a half DC or whatever. I mean, it makes sense that it would matter in the building. So does this mean it's going to be a better defense this year? I wouldn't jump to that conclusion, but I think it's probably gives it a better chance.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious based on some of the comments that we've seen so far from Vrabel and Bowen as well yesterday. That was a big talking point this offseason, the title part of this. But also, like, they must have spent all offseason long just saying the word third down in their head. Just third down defense, third down defense. It's got to get better. Shane Bowen talked so much about that yesterday, about how much work they put into that, how much better that's got to get. Like, I mean, it's obvious. They're working to fix what was an atrocious defense. And I've said this, you know, the personnel at this point has been switched around pretty dramatically. And I realize there are still factors that come along with that that you can't really control as a coach. But if the defense goes out there and struggles again this year after you've switched around the personnel, the conversation is not going to be about the players at that point anymore. It's going to be about the coaching staff. It already was to some degree last year. But it will multiply and amplify this year if that continues to be the case. So, yes, it is Shane Bowen's first official year as defensive coordinator. The difference with that and a normal first year as a defensive coordinator, the benefit of the doubt with Shane Bowen at this point is gone, and it's on him to prove that he can make something out of this regardless of what the personnel picture ends up looking like. Because I'm telling you, fair or unfair, if they're not good, he's going to be the one who gets blamed.
Yeah. Now, there are some people who are still going to say, you know what? I think it's just that John Robinson has done this and this and this wrong, and what do you expect these coaches to do? But, I mean, you can always, in any NFL team, you can decide, okay, it's all GM or it's all coach if you want. But, yes, a lot of blame will go to him. There's pressure on him. And, look, maybe Vrabel was onto something in terms of don't put it all on him the year after Dean Pease leaves and say it's on, let's try to keep it. I think that was part of why he did what he did. So here it is. So this is his first official year. And the thing is with Bowen, because of where they're coming from, again, you can be so-so this year and you've improved things significantly. I mean, I look at the two coordinators. I mean, I think I'd rather be Todd Downing because I have an advantage every Sunday if all those guys are on the field. But I think there's a big difference in, you know, obviously expectation and I would say pressure too.
No, I think so too. One thing that I did find interesting yesterday in his comments, and we'll get to this quickly, Shane Bowen saying, quote, wasn't ready to go, talking about the third down defense last year. Too many times it wasn't ready to go. I don't know exactly what that means in terms of whether he's just throwing something out and saying that or if something operationally on third down wasn't clicking last year. I mean, look, it was historically bad. We know that. But if that's the case again this year, that's on him. And that's part of the pressure that comes with having the actual title of defensive coordinator that he's going to have to find a way to handle this year.
Yeah, that's one of those that you'd like a little bit more elaborating on. But it was a fail across the board. Everybody knows that. And he knows how much, you know, they have to improve. He talked about the communication stuff too, again, and that's just one of those things. I mean, you want players like Byard, you expect good leadership communication on the field, but it still starts at the DC level.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll be joined by Roger Saffold, Titans offensive guard. We'll get his thoughts on training camp up until this point and about what this offense could be under the first year of Todd Downing. We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.